Hello and welcome to Coin Talk. I'm your co-host, Aaron Lammer. I'm on vacation in Mexico, but that does not stop the shows from coming. I called our old friend, Ledger Status, who has been playing this weird crypto gambling 5-minute game. I don't really understand how it works, but he's shilled it to Jay and I, and I can't believe that Jay is not yet addicted to it. So I decided I would talk to Ledger about it in hopes of luring Jay in. We are brought to you, of course, by Medium. Medium has so much great writing about crypto that you really should consider becoming a member. It's only $5 a month. All right, let's do this. Here's the show.
This episode of Coin Talk was taped Thursday, February 14th at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Bitcoin price index was $3,555.
Hey, our good friend Ledger Status, welcome back to the show.
What's up, Aaron? It's good to be back.
So I was just talking to you in our Telegram channel, and I realized that we're overdue to check in with some of the weird shit that you get up to, and you've been trying to hook me and Jay for a while. It's got to be a couple months. You've been sending us promo links. For this, is it pronounced Hero? Am I pronouncing it right?
Yeah, it's pronounced Hero.
H-X-R-O.
It's. I guess you can call it a bear market thing when I'm trying to get you to play a crypto game with me instead of talking about like trade setups and stuff and actual trading.
I mean,
but it's been super fun.
I'll say, while I resisted signing up, I did watch a live stream in which you played the Hero game, I believe, with the founders in real time. And for people listening, I'm just going to summarize it thus, and you can tell me where I go wrong. It's basically like very, very, very short-term longing and shorting of Bitcoin's movements, and you play it basically almost as like an instant win scratcher. You make a bet one direction. Everyone who's in that round with you goes one way or the other. The payouts are weighted by how many people went long or short. If almost everyone goes long and you go short and you win, you get like a sort of exponential bonus. And basically it's just a 24/7 casino. I'm putting quote marks around casino. I'm not accusing Hero of literally running a casino, but it's a constantly running game of people making this same time-sensitive Bitcoin bet in real time.
Yep, that's a pretty good way to put it. It's crazy. It's these 5-minute games, and really you're just guessing whether the next 5-minute Bitcoin candle is going to close higher or lower than the current one. And what brings the fun into the game is, like you said, is there's a pool for each one. And so you decide what you're going to put into it based on the total pool size. And then it's weighted and you can have a multiplier. So like you'll always get at least your money back if you win, but you might get like 1.1 times your money if like you're on the heavy side. And if
you're I got to pause you there. You're saying money, but what you're gambling is actually heroes, which at present have no monetary basis, nor are they like traded anywhere. So you're kind of playing with like house tickets in a way.
Well, this is what's the true with the entire cryptocurrency landscape, especially in the world of BRC20 tokens. I would say that Hero, like most things, unless they're Bitcoin, is probably not what you would define as sound money. But it is a crypto asset it's an app token. So like that's one of the segments, I guess, of like the crypto landscape is these app tokens where it assists in the running of the network itself. So you could think of it like BNB for Binance.
Okay, but you have never bought Hero. Like you were given Hero. You were airdropped Hero.
Yeah, so I agreed to beta test it. So they gave beta testers real Hero tokens. And then the incentive in the beta test is you keep anything you win. So that if you're playing and winning and doing that kind of stuff, you're giving them more feedback because you're more participatory, and then you keep any winning. So that's where I started with it.
Okay. So this morning, you and I were chatting. You started saying something about Hero again. I started zoning out, and you showed the Hero leaderboard. So wait, how long are these games? How long is each round?
Each one's 5 minutes. So you're just predicting the next 5 minute candle.
Approximately how many 5 minute gambling games have you played?
Aaron.
A lot.
Why do you?
This is Kangian level. As far as I understand it, you have basically been playing all the time ever since you first told me about this.
Yeah, you can play passively or actively. So, like, you can set basically an hour of...
Interesting. Yeah, so it's a little, like Farmville-esque, where you're like, just keep growing these turnips over here.
Yeah, you just have to come back and reset it. So, like, if you're going with the trend, like, if you're watching low time frame charts... You can bet with the trend, or you can bet against the trend if you're looking for like ratios, as an example, like to get higher payouts. Like, you know you're going to win fewer because you're against the trend, but you want the higher payouts.
Interesting.
So I've played thousands of these 5 minute cards because I started playing the beta in early January. So it's been a little over a month, and I've played a lot. Like, the key to the game, in my opinion, is consistency and being right with the trend over time. Like, you essentially are utilizing low time frame momentum and technical analysis in combination with a little bit of game theory, and I think you can find a little bit of a house edge right now. So that's what I've been doing, is taking advantage of that.
Well, clearly you have. So how many Hero did you start with?
I started with 2,000 Hero, which 2000. Was based on the book value, which is like what they sold tokens for, I guess, in like the, they didn't do an ICO, but like to some early supporter, you know, stuff like that, like a token, a pre-token sale, but there was never like a public sale or anything.
Okay, so you started with 2,000. How many do you, I just saw the leaderboard. What are you sitting at now?
Now I'm a little over 430,000, so I'm hoping to hit 450,000.
You are the number one Hero player. You're on the top of the leaderboard.
Top of the leaderboard, man.
You are the PewDiePie of Hero.
The PewDiePie of Hero. I don't. If you watch the BitMEX leaderboard, there's Heavy Autumn Wolf. I like that one better.
How is something like Hero valued when it's not traded on any exchange? And the only way people get it, this 2,000 coin beta airdrop, or are people actually like buying it with Bitcoin and fiat and stuff like that?
Yeah, so actually they did list it on IDEX, which is one of the decentralized exchanges, just in the past few days. So it is actually trading now, so it makes it feel more real.
If BitMEX is a light tea, this is like Mountain Dew. This is the most extreme, unrepentantly gambly thing I have ever seen in crypto. Literally, I just Googled them, and the tagline that comes out when you Google Hero is, everything you love about trading crypto now is a game. Like, there's no pretense that this is going to, like, automate a frictionless, like, ERC-20 environment. This is just a pure, pure gambling, gaming addictive thrill. Yes?
I don't know. I did a blog post about it, and one of my questions to myself was, is this pure gambling? And I don't think it is, because I do think there's a skill component, because obviously some people win a lot and some people lose their beta tokens or whatever.
Sure.
And I would consider
sports gambling is a skill also.
Correct. I would put it along...
Ask our friend Kang.
Yeah, I would... Jay is a good person to think of with something like this. Like, I would compare it to being like good at fantasy football or poker or maybe sports gambling. I've never done that.
Yes.
But there's a skill element. It's not the same as like hitting the slot machines or something, where like you're guaranteed to lose over time. Like, I think you can find a way to be better than others. And in that sense, I don't think it is.
So... one thing I'm surprised at is that Jay did not take you up on that referral link to cut the waiting list, because
well,
If you'd asked me, this seems right up his alley.
I thought so too. And the reason he said he didn't was because he was afraid of what would happen if he did. It wasn't because he didn't find it interesting.
That's fair. I think we should be sensitive to that urge in people that, like, this reminds me a little bit of, okay, so there was this game. I grew up in the Bay Area. There was this game that they were beta testing in the stadium. This is when I was a kid. So this is like the late 80s, maybe early 90s. And everyone had a little handset, and you would predict what the next, like, down to the pitch, you could get points for predicting various outcomes. So
that's awesome.
If you predicted an obvious outcome, like, say, a strike or a ball, it was like a very low payout. You get like one. If
so
you predicted like, right, but if you predicted like a home run, you got like 200 points. And so you would have to go like check it out at the stadium. And then on the big screen in the Oakland A's Coliseum, they would show the leaderboard of like what kids were like the top 20. And the only way you were possibly going to get on the leaderboard was taking some moonshots and hitting some home runs.
Yeah.
You know, like if you were just betting conservatively, it's literally you could get almost all of them right, and it's almost impossible. So you were kind of incentivized to go for like home runs, but you also could like do kind of brisk business, like calling a lot of walks. You know, I remember there being very good value in walks, particularly because you could predict them later in the count. So like you were actually making a call for each pitch, and if you start calling for the walk, like at like 2-2, the odds were slightly worse, but you could still get pretty good value.
Yeah, I think you run into this with pretty much anything where you're attempting to create wealth or win, right? Like you can take bigger risks and win quickly, but if you're to play for a long time, you'll blow up eventually doing that game. Like it's some kind of law of probabilities that you will bet big, and if you keep betting big, you'll die.
Exactly.
In this game, I've seen similar. Like, there have been some people, and they onboard into the beta because they're trying to test it and let a few people on at a time. So, like, somebody comes in, and, like, in a week, they turn 2,000 tokens into 50,000 or something. And then 2 days later, like, they're gone. They're off the leaderboard. It's like, what happened to them? And it's like, they just kept betting big. So
I have a question, though.
Yeah.
I have a question. So you have 400 and some thousand odd hero.
Yeah.
And you started with 2,000, and we just assume that, let's just say most players also started with 2,000. That means that you have scarfed up approximately 200 players net ante. Or not their ante, their entire stack. You have like dethroned 200 players and now have their wealth. And that's enough to make you the number one player. Do you think you've mostly just taken money from, not money, quote unquote money, hero from new players who just kind of come in and play recklessly and then just are just like, oh, whatever, like I got this for free. I'm just going to dump it all out here. Like where are your wins coming from?
Yeah, there's some of that where people come in and then they lose whatever they either gained or, you know, we're given, and some people don't have very many tokens left. Some people have rebought, like, so you can buy tokens and come back on and play, like, with real money. So some people have done that. And then the other thing that's happening right now is, because there's only a few hundred players, and the game's designed to where, you know, there'll be thousands of people on the platform. So right now, the team does some, like, staking of pots, basically. So at certain times of the day, they guarantee that there will be a certain number of tokens in the pot. So the team can lose as well. So it's kind of like inflation on the overall platform. And that brings additional tokens into the entire ecosystem. But it's still a minority of people winning. So it's not like I'm taking coins just from players. Like you're also taking coins from the team as they're staking some of these pools.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested in like how this sort of operates as a freely. It's easier to understand how a casino works, which is everyone brings money and loses it to each other in the house.
And the house takes a cut.
In this case, the casino is kind of giving everyone money to prime the pump, but they're also hoping that eventually people are buying that money in order to gamble. So like, what's the total supply of hero? Like, you're 400 and some odd thousand. Like, how much of the total hero is that, do you think?
I think it's a very small percentage of the total, but a larger percentage of the total that's actually out in the world right now.
Right.
I don't know the economics. Like, I didn't participate in like any kind of fundraising or sale, like a token sale type of thing. But I think the 50-year, you know how on-chain effects, like you go in there and it's like, what's the supply in 50 years? And the supply of Stellar is like 6% currently of the eventual supply.
Yeah.
I think it's like that. So there's like 1.5 billion tokens that will ever come out. But right now there might be like 100 million that are out. And of that 100 million, there might be 5 million that are being played on the platform by different people. So in terms of valuing it, it's going to take time to figure that out. But I think if you value it like you do most projects with like Stellar or some of those others based on current supply, then it's a few million dollars when you add up all of those tokens.
I know this is like crypto contradictions, but like there's something weird to me about, I know I've done this with many altcoins. I confess I've done this, but it feels weird to me to put in like fiat to buy hero when the hero team is just giving away hero constantly to try to get people to play. Like something about that, it's just kind of like, you're like, oh, wow, I'm really getting the short end of this stick.
No, I don't think they're really doing it quite like that. Like when I say seeding pots, it's another potential use case of the token too. Like someone could, like, I don't know if they're planning this, but one of the ideas I've had is to guarantee. So if you, let's say you buy $1,000 worth of hero and you want to be able to go and wager that, when there are different games, like in these games exist for Bitcoin and other altcoins, and you're playing them, you're spreading out where the activity is. So someone could stake, they could stake both sides of the card, and then they get a share of the fee or something like that. So when I say they're like seeding them, a lot of what they're doing is just making sure there's hero on every card so that people can come in and wager whatever they want and not have to like limit their wagers to a size to where it's, you know, like not overpowering the card. This is getting into a lot of the random game theory.
I like how much you've thought about this. I also like that while it seems like you are a shill for hero, I now understand that you are actually like a super player and that you have actually cornered out the largest share of this currently quasi shitcoin, but like potentially future. How much is your hero bag worth at this point? Like if you went and traded it on that DEX that added it right now.
Yeah, I think it would be over 200 Ethereum if I were to try to cash it out.
That's a lot.
Yeah, the market's too illiquid for that. So I'm a hero bag holder for a while.
Oh, you're just gonna slowly trickle your hero out?
I'm still considering it like a game that I'm beta testing, so it's not something where I'm treating it like that's real money yet.
I'm treating it like a game that I play all the time, constantly, more than anyone else in America.
Well, you know what? It's pretty addictive. I had a friend who also got 2,000 tokens, and he built it up to like 30,000 or something. And then he was like, dude, I'm playing too much. And he said he knew if he had any tokens left, he would go back and play again. So he just kept betting it until he lost it all. Like he just kept putting tons and tons on cards, hoping he would lose it. And he purposefully lost so they'd stop paying attention because it was that addictive. So,
well, what would happen if you went in, like, what if you just started putting like 100,000 hero on a 5-minute one? Well, no one would like cover that.
Yeah, I would ratio the card is what it would be. So like someone would get like...
Oh, I see.
So if someone on the other side of that won, they might get like 10 times their initial amount that they put in.
Right.
Like, because it creates a multiplier, but it's paramutual is the term for that. So it creates a multiplier. So if I lose, like I'm losing my entire amount. If I win, I might only win like 10% on top of what I wagered.
Yeah, it's a bad bet. So unlike poker, you can't like be a bully with the large stack. In fact, actually, the large stack, you kind of just need
you
to
bully yourself.
Let it sit there for hours. Yeah, you need to hold them bags.
Yeah, the term that we've created is that you ratio yourself. So if you go in and there's a pool with like 10,000 hero on it and you're 8,000 of it, you're 80% of the pool. So the most you can possibly win is 20%, and that's if everyone is on the other side. So there's a lot of interesting game theory. And I created some tips, like here's the percentage of a pool that I want to be, and here's the percentage of my stack that I want to bet at any given time. Because one of the things you see is someone comes in and they're like throwing 10% of the amount of hero they have down on every card, and it works for a minute, and then they're just, all of a sudden they go through a bad streak, you know, because they're choosing wrecked. They call it moon and wrecked for like which side you choose. It's all like neon and stuff. It's super goofy and fun.
I feel like this product is like a fever dream that like you're imagining while you're dying or something. It's like every ledger status trigger like taken to 11.
This isn't their first time. Like some of their advisors are from like DraftKings and stuff. So those are people that did a similar thing with football. Like football was way more boring until fantasy football and DFS.
That does not surprise me at all. And I easily see how they could put a bunch of more games on the Hero platform where you're actually just doing fantasy football, or perhaps, I don't know, just about anything you could gamble on, you basically could do.
There's going to be a game. You'll like this one because it's very up your altcoin persona.
Yeah.
They're calling it Mubags, like M-U-H. So you literally draft like Sumo coin or whatever altcoin bags that they have available, yeah. And you like give them a weight. So like I'm 20% Sumo coin and 40% Zcash or whatever.
Yeah.
And you like watch how they perform over the tenure of the game, and then like it's literally fantasy football with altcoin bags, which is
there's someone else doing this. I think it's called like Altcoin Fantasy or something. I get like their emails. But isn't it a little late for this stuff? Like I thought this stuff would have been really fun too, but like newsflash, altcoins are down 90%+. Like is fantasy altcoin stuff like, do you think it has legs to continue?
It's Buildle season, man. It's we were in HODL and now we're Buildle or whatever you call it.
I mean, is gambling on altcoins like Buildling though? It's kind of more like, it feels to me more like running in place or like.
No, I mean, altcoins will exist and cryptocurrencies will exist and there will be cycles. This is a cyclical thing. You asking me if altcoins are dead is like bottom things. You
know? I know. Like, I'm such a noob.
All these top things. It's like, you know, the NFL is talking about Bitcoin in their locker rooms. If that's top things, or like Katy Perry with Monero fingernails, if that's top things, then this is bottom things. It's like wondering why would you build something when no one cares? It's like this is the accumulation period and this is the slow period. This is the time to like make your products good for the next cycle. So I'm personally really interested in projects right now.
All right, let me ask you one more cynical altcoin. You basically resold me on alts there. I'm loading up my bags. But like, okay, we did an episode. I think maybe you listened to it.
I listen to every episode, Aaron.
Yeah. Thank you, Ledger. I appreciate that. You've supported us from the beginning. Everyone listening, so I don't even forget to do it at the end. Ledger, you have a podcast. It's called The Ledger Cast. It's you and Carpe Noctem. Everyone should go subscribe to that. If you actually want to invest in crypto, it's like, I would say one episode of it is more useful than the entire run of Coin Talk if you're actually buying and selling crypto. But so with it comes to altcoins, we did this episode called Super Airdrop Festival. And in it, we kind of made the conspiracy case that like, a huge portion of the altcoin universe really just serves as this weird, like, doorbuster, seat filler, get people to show up for crypto promotion. Whether you're talking about something like BNB, all of these airdrops, all of these things are basically ways to, like, if you were trying to, like, juice the monthly active users of crypto, so far, the only way people have really been able to get people through the door is giving them free stuff.
Hmm.
And you came in the door for Hero for the free stuff. And you, along the way, jacked a bunch of other people's free stuff. So now you have, like, you came in with, like, you know, a Christmas present. Now you've got, like a big rig out back full of Christmas presents. But, like, those Christmas presents all originated with Hero for the most part. If we take out the people who actually bought in with Fiat, who, like, I believe that's probably a strong minority of the Hero that's out there right now, these are all, like, promotions in a way to get people to come do what you're doing, try Hero, like, you know, first bag's free.
I think you're talking about this qualifies whether it's any cryptocurrency, because no cryptocurrency was really anything of non-digital value before, and also like any company, like this is credit creation to me. So the way money is created, it's not like we start with a certain amount of money and then it stops. The economy grows because value is created from nothing, whether it's in a corporation or whether it's in a game or whether it's in a cryptocurrency that people continue to value as more or less. And as an economy grows, credit and value are created. But I think when you're in a contraction cycle, I think it's no different than when the stock market's shrinking or the economy is shrinking. There's not enough liquidity. There's not new people coming in to buy it and grow it. But that's true of an economy, a corporation, or a cryptocurrency. I don't think it matters which one. It's just inflows and outflows.
I think just culturally, I try to avoid the full Bitcoin maximalist position because I still enjoy vegetables and have other interests in my life. But there's something like you've heard me talking a lot about Grin on the show.
Yeah.
And I noticed that you're like wildly uninterested in Grin and Beam. I keep being like, Ledger, should I buy Grin or Beam? And you're like, what? Who cares? For me, the fact that Grin is like this Faircoin, and I used the wrong word. Faircoin actually means something. It's a truly, I'm using the word fair. It's a fair coin in that there's no reward for anyone. The founders don't have a reward. They're not giving out free Grin to get people into Grin. They didn't make like a Grin casino.
This is the Bitcoin maximalist way of saying it's everything that Ethereum and Zcash were not.
Exactly. And Hero is that, like, to me, it's like that Zcash Ethereum thing, but like after like chugging a 2-liter bottle of Mountain Dew, ripping your shirt off and running through the streets. Like,
I think your skepticism is funny. It's just an app token.
I'm not skeptical. I'm like saying I take them very literally when they say everything you love about trading crypto now is a game. Like, It's a game that like emitted itself, and I totally hear that like Magic the Gathering did the same thing. They printed a bunch of cards, and now they have value, and people playing them and probably gambling on them as part of that. But
or Tops, y'all's baseball card episode was like had me rolling about this.
Oh, we got some good user mail about that. I forgot to report, which is my guess about Don Russ. My off the cuff guess, correct? Don Russ. Founded by a guy named Don and a guy named Russ.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, okay, it's a cynical view of altcoins, but like if you didn't need all of these super airdrop festivals to get people into crypto, then why are you doing them? Like, why is the Hero team giving you basically 200 Ethereum of value? So you've netted more than $20,000 that mostly just started in their pool. Like, I guess I'm like saying my ears kind of perk up when like people are paying $20,000 to get customers. It kind of reminds me of like startup land, where a lot of companies operate at like a massive loss and burn a lot of investor money to get new users in the door. And if that is what's happening in crypto, I actually think it's kind of interesting. And I also think we're doing kind of badly. Like, we're not attracting very many new users.
Yeah, I would qualify it differently than that. And I think you can, I think you're having fun with Hero, but you can give a similar argument for lots of tokens, whether it's like ZRX or something else.
Where 100%.
I would, I'm not saying a token is equity at all in any of these assets, but it's equity in a network. So like
everything I've said about Hero, you could say about Ethereum, and I hold Ethereum. So I'm clearly living in the delusion.
So let's use Ethereum as our example. Ethereum is equity in the sense that it's equity in the Ethereum network as a valuable software protocol for people to build crap on. When people get equity in a startup, I'm just giving you, Aaron, equity in my startup, but I'm not actually giving you anything, right? You're taking the equity and you're putting energy into working on the startup because you believe that the startup will be worth something and therefore your equity will be worth something. So I think when you see like an airdrop or you see a team who is rewarded in tokens or you see a beta tester like me and Hero who's given Hero for my efforts of beta testing and giving feedback. I mean, I give these guys a lot of feedback on like the games and the platform and all that.
I'm not saying that you're not giving them
value. No, I know, but I'm saying they're not giving me anything. They're giving me something that they created, and then we're all making the joint wager that the platform will have value in the future.
Well, they gave you 2,000 Hero. I mean, they did give you something.
They gave me something, but there's nothing but the market to determine whether that thing has value. They're not giving me U.S. dollars, and the market is nascent. It's not like the Bitcoin market. If they'd given me one Bitcoin to participate, that's an entirely different thing, right?
Hold on. I want to pause you there, though, because I'm trying to understand, like, me and you have talked about this before, and I think we maybe just disagree. But to me, if they give you 2,000 Hero, even though that's not Bitcoin, and let's say it's not particularly liquid, if you went and turned around and turned your Hero into Bitcoin on the exchange, or if you played Hero a bunch, ganked a bunch of other people's Hero, and then put that on the market, it does ultimately result in Bitcoin. You will be able to trade it for Bitcoin. So in a way, if you look at the like whole crypto economy, they did pay out Bitcoin to get new users.
I don't think so. I think that until it's realized, then it's not. Like, it's just the creation of something new. Like, I haven't real.
But if it works, they did.
If it works, then and people start realizing and like exchanging Hero for another token. Like, if I sell Hero for Ethereum, then the United States IRS, Internal Revenue Service, would then say, yes, I have made Ethereum. But until something is realized, then I don't really think that you've done anything. Like, the world has to assign a value to it and give it liquidity. It's not worth something until you have the thing that it's supposedly worth in your hand. That's like basically what liquidity is, right?
Yeah, but it is a trading on an exchange now. So like, you could get a little tiny bit of Bitcoin from them. I'm not saying they're like putting billions into the world. I'm saying they're like telling shoppers that they'll get a $5 Amazon gift card if they come in at 6 a.m. when the store opens or something. Like that's what I think it's akin to. But it's interesting how much of the overall value of crypto flows into, I mean, and look, some of it's like Ethereum, and it looks really different when it's Ethereum. But a certain amount of the crypto economy is trading airdrops for Bitcoin. So some of the value of the whole economy is just like airdrop value that then was then traded with Bitcoin. I guess the Bitcoin maximalist as me is like, no, I'm not going to trade Bitcoin for your airdrop coin. That's a terrible deal.
Yeah, and some people will always say stuff like that, and they could have a great point oftentimes, like if it requires you to do stuff. But it all depends. I mean, this is what markets are. Like they're ebb and flow, right? Look at that. What have you followed this BTT, like the BitTorrent token? And it's like,
that's like a spinoff of Tron.
Yeah, it's TRX bought BitTorrent, and now there's a BitTorrent token, and they're doing like a 25-year airdrop of BTT, but they also did an ICO on Binance, and I can't even follow what was going on.
I love the guy who was like the head of BitTorrent, like when it sold, when Justin Sun bought it. He was like,
I have nothing to do with this.
No, and he was also like, What he's describing is deeply technically unfeasible. There's no way a token could do that. And I would know. I wrote all that software. He's just making that up. Like,
that's amazing.
That there's no way that these tokens will ever power like some sort of a torrent economy. This is just literally like an idea that me and you kicked around on the show and then just announced a like 25-year airdrop, but we didn't like do any of the work of like making it work. So I would say like on the scale of sort of airdrop reality, Ethereum maybe up at the top, Hero kind of in the murky middle here, and then like BTT, like the bottom feeder.
Okay. So BTT is the bottom feeder, and yet it is
there's something
currently
below it, I'm sure.
No, it's three times. It has, you just said that, the fundamental argument that the founder of BitTorrent gave against this token, and yet it's trading on Binance. The market has decided it's worth three times what it initially listed for. So that those BTT tokens are worth 26 Satoshis each. So
I love your pure commitment to markets here. It just all of that kind of says to me is like, wow, again, more confirmation that like actually doing something in crypto is a bad idea. You can get more value out of just saying you're doing something.
Well, that I think was proven true all through 2017.
Like, and 2018.
You do a rebrand.
Like, it's never not been true. It's true at the top and it's true at the bottom. Like, not actually doing something. That's like that Tron guy. Like, he's a marketer. Like, he's like a scammy internet marketer. Like, it might as well have nothing to do with crypto, what he's basically trying to do right now.
Did you see that he screenshotted his Twitter profile and Vitalik's Twitter profile, and he was like, we're tied now because we both have 880,000 followers or something like that. Like, he was like,
yeah,
measuring clout based on Twitter followers.
I'm sure that guy has bought Twitter followers. That is exactly the personality who would be like, okay, I'm going to put $1 million into Twitter followers.
I think it's worth it.
It's worth the investment.
I think he's a special breed of altcoin extraordinaire. I think there's a lot of people, though, in the space that see, you know, the way that tokens work and the way the blockchain works, and they see, like, how can you create something that utilizes this technology to build something fun, interesting, whatever. And we're seeing a ton of that in the finance world. Like, the folks at NASDAQ are super into crypto. And I was just listening to another podcast, and it was like a futures, you know, like a traditional legacy markets podcast about futures trading. And they had somebody that was building a crypto exchange. What was the sponsor that you had for this show?
SeedCX.
It was the president of that. Man, you got to get extra for this. It was that guy. Wow. He was the CEO of SeedCX was interviewing, and he was talking about how they're going to use blockchain for like,
You've already got our W-9 guy. You know where to send those checks.
So he was talking about using it for like settlement and stuff in trading. And he was making predictions about how like legacy markets will probably move towards the blockchain. So I think there are different types of people in the landscape. And some have good intentions for using the technology and bringing it to different parts of the regular world. And like the finance world is a clear one. And creating different types of products, like whether it's derivative products or, you know, options. Like, you could look at this Hero game as almost like a binary option, right? Like, it's 5-minute options where your strike date is five minutes away. And I think that's some of the interesting stuff to me. And then there's a whole other thing where like people never have an intention to build anything. There's never a product. There's never a real solution. And they're just in there to, you know, to pump their coin and get out. And like, I don't like that. But if people are building things, they're actually making something, I like it. I don't necessarily know that that translates to token value.
Can I make a bull case for Hero? I know I've been crapping on it.
Yeah, you've been crapping on it pretty hard. That's okay. It's just my bag, Aaron.
No.
You're cracking on my illiquid bag. I need this bag to become very, very liquid.
Look, first of all, clearly they should be paying you more because this product is like, you so perfectly encapsulate the high-minded version of this product that they're not going to get better spokesman for it than you. And the reason why I actually kind of am bullish about it is when I hear about all this like Ethereum universe stuff, it's either like really abstract where it's like, oh, we're going to use it to like manage this kind of like exchange of energy, or, you know, it's just something that's like, I don't know anything about that. And then you're like, this is like fantasy football. I'm like, oh, I have seen people be into that. Like,
yeah,
that's a
it.
Thing that millions and millions of Americans already know and enjoy. I'm shitting on it because it's gambling, and I don't have a problem with gambling, but it's like still hilarious to me to say everything you love about crypto now is a game. But that's actually a better pitch for getting a new user of crypto than almost any of the other ones, which are either like invest in this weird altcoin scheme that you don't understand, or just buy Bitcoin and hodl it. Like, it's gamified. So, I get it.
Do you remember when we were talking about Augur 6 months ago or whatever?
Yeah.
And they had like 30 active users and we couldn't get the platform to launch. Like, we were trying to sync so that we could record about it. And yet its market cap today is $150 million, and it was more then, probably.
But I feel vindicated there, because I don't know if you've seen, but there's now a web interface for Augur that's does not require you to manually sync the Infura Ethereum blockchain. You can just basically load it up. And if you've got like MetaMask already in your browser, you're basically like ready to go. And whoever did it clearly has a better understanding of UI design than whoever made the desktop app. So both that, and there's another company that's building Augur markets, like using the Augur smart contracts. They're doing like their own markets thing. That's why, like, I think it's pumped, because it's more usable now. Like, it's actually more possible to use Augur than it was 6 months ago. That has to be bullish for Augur, despite my actually doing something's a bad idea statement.
I would agree with that, but Augur maintained a hundreds of millions of dollar market cap before it ever had anything to prove for itself. So my bull case for Hero is they've had a product since the day the token was ever in existence. So That's my take.
I like your case.
And their daily active users are like super high. So like, of the percentage of people that have had beta access, like, there's always people on the platform, like a decent percentage of the overall numbers of people. So
I think you've sold me ultimately. I might have to pick up some Hero, because it's true. The reason I didn't—
I'm selling OTC. I'm just kidding. The Augur thing was Veil.co, by the way.
Well, the reason I stopped using Augur was because it was too hard to use. So the fact that you've been sitting there addictively using this and it hasn't crapped out on you, or bugs haven't made it completely untenable for you to use it, is actually a pretty strong statement of the user experience, especially at a beta level, for someone to log however goddamn many hours you must have to accumulate 400,000 Hero. That suggests that they know what they're doing.
Yeah, it's been really fun. So I have a question about Augur to follow up. This Veil.co, it's the front-end interface. Are they anonymous? Because are they going to hold like assassination markets on Veil, or are they curating?
Oh, Augur? Wow. I didn't realize. The name didn't actually catch me in that way. Don't know. More on that soon. I mean, I don't think we've heard the last of Augur assassination markets. I'll say that. Like, we may have just postponed the discussion because no one wanted to wait for the Infura chain to sink to start an assassination market. The easier it gets to make these markets, I think we'll hear, like, especially if like we have another bull run, people are going to freak out again, I think.
Yeah, and I think these are all like good cases for using blockchain, because, you know, whether it's prediction markets or what you're calling a gambling site, or I call a skilled gaming site, it makes me feel way better, Aaron.
Keep pumping back.
I think all of these are pretty good use cases for crypto, like whether it's finance, like very proper things, or like in between. I think those are pretty decent use cases for like what, you know, a blockchain can offer. But I don't know. We'll see. They're financial products, and their games are interesting. It's a part of the crypto world that I think it has shipped more so than anything else, right? Like, how many of these like protocols and networks have actually shipped? But, you know, Binance is running its platform using the Binance token. Like, they're unbanked, right? So like, that's a successful app token. This part of the use case is being pretty well shown through all of these different tokens. So I don't know. I like it. I'm interested. I'm curious if this is going to make Augur better. You got me thinking about it now.
How much are you going to, are you just going to keep playing hero until you bust?
Bust? Who says I'm going to bust?
I mean, it could happen.
I would have to work pretty hard, and I would have to tilt a lot to bust out. No, I enjoy playing it. I don't know that the rate I've been playing is sustainable long term.
In a way, when I saw you playing, it seemed like you were using kind of the same strategy, except much more intelligent, that we used on Augur, which is to sort of fade whatever we think is the popular view. So you were generally kind of fading crypto views and trying to take the opposite side. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that is broadly a smart trading philosophy, is just fading. Whether it's like legacy markets, you fade CNBC.
I invented that on Augur. Well, yeah, on Augur, we were fading libertarianism. We were fading crypto hubris.
Was the market you made, was that the P tape or was that something else?
The P tape market is still active because it will run until the end of Trump's first term.
So are you like getting redemptions? Like are you getting?
There's only like one eth of volume on it. And so my like six staked rep, I don't know. I think maybe I've gotten like 0.2 rep or something by staking. Maybe not even that much. It's unclear to me. Like,
it's a low volatility market. The Bollinger Bands are tight on the P-tape market. Is that what you're saying? Volatility incoming?
Yeah, very much so. And like nothing, like I know you said like Augur is like worth a bunch, you know, has done well, the value of it. Even with this simplified interface, there's really not that many markets with like that are really very bettable on Augur. It's still not operating like that thing that you imagine. It's not even operating like Hero, where there's like a big like swell and everyone's like betting on something. It's kind of disparate. It's hard to, like, I went on it yesterday because I had like a very small amount left and I was going to transfer it out. And I was like, oh, I'll just put this on one of these squares. And I like couldn't even find a market with action.
Yeah, I know we had talked about it as a potential like options platform. So that was one of the things that people were doing with it.
Yeah. And I didn't want to use it to like, I didn't want to like use ETH to bet like ETH futures on Augur. That was like the main things where there's volume was like, well, on January 1st, will Ethereum be over? And I was just like, it like ties my brain in like a pretzel to like gamble Ethereum on Ethereum.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. And that's the same as this. It's like, I don't know that I'll play the 5-minute hero game forever because that's, you gotta, like, your bets run out after like an hour.
That's a sad way to look at the rest of your life.
But they're gonna have like weekly cards too. So you can bet on what the next week is gonna do, or you can bet on the next daily or something. So I'm fascinated in that, especially when it comes to other tokens. Like, I could also do that with Augur or Ripple or XRP, I'm sorry, whatever. I think that's really interesting because, like, imagine the next hype cycle and XRP like goes way, way up. I could just go hammer wrecked on the XRP weekly every week and get paid for it. And I'm not actively shorting. Like, I'm not paying big funding fees to be short XRP in that scenario. So I like that because it's
utterly diabolical, this scenario. Utterly diabolical. I don't want to live through that that period of history again. I don't think I can live.
You don't want to live through another hype cycle in crypto? Are you kidding me?
Just Ripple. I don't think I can do Ripple again. Like, just give me something new to make fun of.
It'll be worse. It'll be JP Morgan coin.
There you go.
Did you see that today?
Yes. I look forward to making fun of JPM with you during the next bull cycle.
Sounds good, man. I hope I didn't shill Hero too hard. It wasn't the point, but it was fun to get the opportunity.
I love your enthusiasm. Come back soon. Yep.
All right. Y'all have a good one.
This episode of Coin Talk was taped Thursday, February 14th at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Bitcoin price index was $3,555.
Hey, thanks for listening to Coin Talk. Maybe our most frivolous episode, but also the one that weirdly filled me with the most FOMO. do with that what you will. Our show is edited by James Nicholson. My co-host is Jay Kang. We are brought to you in partnership with Medium. All of our episodes, including transcripts, are up at medium.com/cointalk. You can always get in touch. Hi at cointalk.show. See you soon.